Spirit, better, stronger, greater. And I'm pumped up about this topic. Sort of interesting because this is something that I really haven't studied myself a whole lot. As I was looking back through my sermon notes and whatnot, I've really never preached on this as well. And the reality is I've never really heard much about the Holy Spirit growing up in church even. I didn't take a class in college. There was no Holy Spirit 101 in college. And so when I started digging into this a couple weeks ago, it just hit me that what is the Spirit? You know, who is the Holy Spirit? And why do we not talk about Him? What is He that we should be celebrating about Him? And so I just felt, you know what, it'd be good to sort of dig into this a little bit, because the Holy Spirit, in a lot of ways, is sort of like that cousin that nobody really likes at the family reunion and sort of never gets in any of the pictures, or the stepchild that just sort of floats away. We know He's there, but we really don't know much about Him and really don't take a lot of time to get to know Him a whole lot. One author stated that for many Christians in America, the Holy Spirit is sort of like the pituitary gland that each of us have. Now, we all know we have a pituitary gland. You know you have one, right? Everybody know you have one? Are you friends with your pituitary gland, though? Not really. We don't pull it out and say, hey, how are you? Hello. We don't pet him and, you know, and talk to him, cuddle him. We know that we couldn't live without it, yet we really don't know everything about it. You know, unless you're a nurse, you may have no clue even what the pituitary gland does. You know, it's a gland we need, but we don't know, understand it. We're not friends with it. We don't know much about it. And that's sort of like the way the Holy Spirit is with a lot of Christians in America. We know that He's vital. We know that we need Him, but we're not quite sure what He does, what He's like. We're not sure what His purpose is. And so I want to dig in a little bit, and I want to study the Holy Spirit a little more. J.D. Greer, in his book, Jesus Continued, said that we worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. And a lot of times we forget God the Spirit in that equation. We worship the rule book and the instruction book higher than we actually worship the Spirit, Greer said. And so why do we do that? Because maybe it's hard to trust something we don't know. Maybe it's hard to trust in someone that we're not sure of who they are and what they do and how they function. So I'm not sure why we ignore the Spirit and have ignored the Spirit so much in the church circles. It might be because we really don't understand the Spirit. Maybe we're afraid of what the Spirit can do. Maybe we've seen the abuse of the Spirit in some church circles, and, oh, we don't want to do that, you know. By the way, the Wesleyans are sort of a fascinating bunch. The Wesleyans used to, before I was born, the Wesleyans were holy rollers. Anybody know what holy rollers are? You've been around long enough? Wesleyans are holy rollers. They used to run the backs of pews and wave the white hanky type of people. That's the kind of people that the Wesleyans were, and the Pilgrim Holiness and the Nazarenes, just to put us in the camp with all those others. I've always thought it'd be fascinating to see somebody run the backs of the pews. What that is somebody gets blessed, they jump up on the pews, and literally they run from the backs of the pews without missing a beat. That would be really dangerous in our church because these are not nailed down. But I just thought it'd be fascinating, you know. So I grew up in the era when the church went from that camp meeting revival mentality and moved to sort of more of the Lutheran and Catholic style of orderly worship, you know. So we miss that. You were back in that era, weren't you? You betcha. So it's fascinating that we've swung from way over here to way over here, and nowadays we hardly talk about the Spirit because we're not quite sure what He'll do. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to go out there in the crazies, you know, we don't want to be holy rollers and out there on the wacky side, but yet at the same time we sort of miss or bypass all that the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit came to do. We sort of, we chuck off a whole part of who we are as Christians. And so today I want to kick things off with sort of a Holy Spirit 101 class, and we're going to jump back into this over the next couple of weeks. Now I realize that there are several ways, two big ways, to enter a pool of water. Some of you, when you go into the pool, you put your toe in, and you're like, woo, it's cold, you know, and then you put your foot in, then you get your other foot in, then you get your legs in, and then you slowly waddle down into the depths of the pool as the water, y'all feeling me? It's freezing as it's coming up. Now, there is a second way to enter a pool. It is my preferred method. You go over to the deep end, and on a hot day, you just do what? You jump in. And you sit there, whoa! Okay, now it's all right, you know? You just sort of jump in. What we're going to do this morning is we are going to go down to the deep end, and we're just going to jump into this whole topic of the Holy Spirit. So we're not going to gear up here. We're just going to jump right in. So what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Why do we need to know about this guy, this part of the Godhead? So here's some things right off the top of the bat. Number one, he is the third person of the Trinity. He's the third person of the Trinity. So we're going to draw this out here. We have God, the Father. We're going to put, you know what? I'm going to redraw this sec. We're going to put God, okay? And then under this, we have the Father. And then we have the Son. And then we have the Spirit. Okay. And this is commonly in the church referred to as the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. All of this makes up God. You have to have all of it or none of it, because it all makes up God. He comes to us in the form of Father, Son, and Spirit. And a lot of times we talk about the Father because he's the creator and the God of the universe. And then we talk about the Son because he's the one that showed up here on this earth. But then we just sort of ignore, forget about this guy over here. We forget about the Spirit. So we have to understand that the Spirit is part of the Trinity. Now, we understand Trinity to some extent. We also have some problems with Trinity, because how does that work? How does that function? But here's the thing you have to understand. We all are Trinity in and of ourselves as individuals, because you are made up of a body, you are made up of a personality, and you are made up of a soul. So when you think of Pastor John, when that name comes up in your weekly whatever, okay, first off, what might come to your mind is my chiseled body, my striking face, you know? But so much more comes to your mind, doesn't it? You don't just think of this, you think of my personality, who I am, what I'm like, you know? Do I like to laugh? Am I a serious guy? You know, all of my personality is wrapped up in that. But you see, that's two parts, you know? That's like Father, Son, got two parts. But then you have this soul part, the Spirit part. And the Bible tells us that we're made up of the Spirit as well. So we have a body, we have a personality, but we also have a soul. And all three parts of that have to be in us, or we are dead. If you go to a hospital and you go into a room and somebody's brain has stopped functioning, although the machinery is keeping their body alive, that's one of the huge questions. Are they really alive? Because they're missing their personality. You know, and if you go into a place where the body's dead, but yet the mind's active and this person's trapped, are they still alive? Well, sort of. We have problems with that. But we know you're alive because every one of you are breathing in your body. Every one of you, if I come to you after church and talk with you, shake your hand, we're going to laugh a little, we're going to talk about something, you have a personality. And every one of you sitting here has a soul and a spirit that goes well beyond this life. You see, we are all made up of these same three parts. You have Jesus, who is the physical part of us. You have the Father, who is the whole encompassment of our personality. But we also have the Spirit part of the Trinity as well as ourselves. The Holy Spirit, now here's the next thing. So number one, he is the third person of the Trinity. Good job, Ben. He's keeping up. So I told him I would if we needed to. He is the third person of the Trinity. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is God. All of this is God. The Father, the Son, the Spirit. Every one of these is fully God. So you can't say, well, the Spirit, you know, it's not really God. The Father's God. And the Son, yeah, but he's lesser than the Father, you know. And no, every one of these make up God and are God all on their own. So the Holy Spirit is God. He's not one-third God. He is fully God. Here's the next part. The Holy Spirit is a person, not just an it. It is a person. So if all of this is the case, and all three of these must be personable, then the Spirit is a person, not an it. He is someone that you can have a relationship with. Now, I thought this was fun. This one pastor I was reading this week, he said that y'all have a cell phone. Most of you have a cell phone these days? Yeah? It'd be interesting to see who doesn't, you know? Most of us. Okay, we got one that doesn't have a cell phone. Talk to your mom. Most of us have a cell phone. Now, it's sort of fascinating. That cell phone that you have, you know what? You can talk to it. It can talk to you. It can remember your calendar dates. It can remember your birthdays and phone numbers. It has all that cool stuff. It has a lot of neat features. You can play with your cell phone, you know, with games and apps. So you can reach out and through your cell phone talk to everybody else. But no matter how much that cell phone can do, it is still an it. It is not a person. You can't have a relationship with your cell phone. Unless you have Alexa or what's the Siri, you know, I guess then you could have a relationship with your cell phone. But I tell you what, if Siri is your best friend, we need to have a different conversation. Please come to my office, okay? That's not a good thing. If you're my best friend is Siri, it's the only one that will talk to me, okay? Well, that's a conversation for another day. You see, the Holy Spirit isn't an it. It's not like your cell phone. It is a person. It's somebody you can have a relationship with. Charles Stanley, in his book, Living on the Power of the Holy Spirit, put it this way. The Spirit of the living God is not a force. He is a somebody. Now, so often in the movies today, we try to present the Spirit, the force, if you will. In fact, I happen to be a Star Wars fan. Right? For the Star Wars, Star Trek folks, you know, a Star Wars fan. Now, in Star Wars, they didn't get it quite right because Star Wars has the Force, you know. But it's interesting because the Force is that all-powerful energy that's in the world, and you can tap into it if you're a Jedi Knight. You know, you can tap into the Force. But here's the deal. The Force is not personable. The Force is neither good nor bad. We learned that in the later movies. The Force is just what balances all of existence, you know? So the movies have an understanding of this, but they don't get it because, see, here's the deal. The Holy Spirit isn't just a force, isn't just a vibe, isn't just a good feeling. The Holy Spirit is a person, and we can have a relationship with that person, that part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is personable as well. And because he is a person, he does have a personality, if you will, on his own. The Holy Spirit engages in relationship with us and with the Father and with the Son. God is relational in all of his aspects. So I think God reveals himself to us so that we can understand this because we need a God who, a great dad who's with us all the time. Some of you didn't have a good dad, but the Father, God the Father wants to be that perfect dad. We also, a lot of us might long for a big brother. You know, somebody who can watch out for us, you know, and beat the bullies up, you know, if we're having some issues. We all want the Son, but we also need a Spirit who can be with us all the time, who we can engage with. When Daddy's not here and my brother's gone away somewhere, the Spirit is still here, still watching over, still able to be next to me. So the Spirit has a personality. If we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, so going clear back to the beginning, here's how the Bible started some of this whole process. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Now, I want you to notice in this passage that God said, let us, not let me, let us make man in our image. And so God created the Father, Godhead, the Trinity, the us, the relational being, created us. Created humanity and created us like him. Body, soul, spirit. Body, personality, and spirit or soul. God created us just like he was, how he existed. You see, we are built for relationship. You and me were not built to go it alone in life. We were built to need each other. We were built to need God. We were built in his image. And just like God is in perfect relationship with himself, he expects, desires, and wants us to also be in relationship. The Trinity shows up in a great marriage. I believe a great marriage is founded on husband, wife, and God. The Trinity shows up in a great family that God instituted how the family should look. A mom and a dad and kids. It's fascinating because this whole Trinity concept just shows up all over the place in humanity, in our lives. Why? Because God created us, the Godhead, created us in His image. This is so important because this leads to why the Spirit is so vital to understand. I would encourage you this week, if you have a few couple minutes, go to the book of John. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the New Testament. Go to the book of John. Go to chapters 14, 15, and 16. Jot that down if you want. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. These three chapters are the foremost books on the Holy Spirit, and the teacher of that was Jesus. And we're going to be looking at this a lot this morning. But I would encourage you to read John 14, 15, and 16. It's Jesus' discourse on what the Holy Spirit is all about and how the Trinity functions. So he starts off in chapter 14 with the concept of the Trinity. Jesus tells his disciples that they, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. That was what it was like for the disciples. They're like, what? What do you mean? You know, and Jesus says, no, really, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because we are the same guy. Jesus flat out said it. We are it. God is me, I am God, you know? So if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, that blew the disciples' sockets for a bit. And then Jesus begins to teach them and goes on, because they're all confused. And then he begins to tell them about the things that are to come. And he begins to tell them that me, the Son, I'm going to go away. But if I go, then something cool's going to happen. Then in John 16, 7, Jesus says something striking. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, if you go back and read these couple of chapters, Jesus is in essence preparing them for his crucifixion and his eventual departure, ascension back into heaven. In these chapters, Jesus is basically laying out his succession plan as a leader. Now, they've spent the last couple of years together. The disciples have left everything to follow Jesus. They've left careers, they've left their kids, they've left their wives, they've left their friendship groups, they've left their neighborhoods and their communities to follow Jesus. They literally were all in. They put everything on the line for this guy called Jesus. And now Jesus sits down. Could you imagine being in this conversation? They've given up everything for this movement that Jesus is starting, and Jesus sits down with him and says, oh, by the way, I need to let you know, I'm out of here. What? Wait a minute. Hang on. Jesus? Hold the fort. We've given up everything to follow you. Now you're telling us that you're out? That you're done? That you're going away? Talk about a shock to the system. Wait a minute. We waited and jumped into the deep end. And now you're gone? So Jesus begins to unfold what is going to happen so it does not completely freak them out. And in the midst of this entire conversation, Jesus constantly reminds them of the Trinity. This whole conversation is sort of couched in this idea of the Trinity. And then in 16:7, he makes the most wild statement, and he actually tells them that me going away is actually a good thing for you. And I am sure if I was them, I'd be sitting here like, I do not get this. Shouldn't be surprised because I haven't gotten much over the last 3 years, but I don't get this. Now, most of us think that it would be pretty cool to hang out with Jesus for an afternoon. How many of you would love to be able to go back in time and just hang out with Jesus for like just an afternoon? You have like a bazillion questions. I mean, for me, I think it'd be cool just to be in the crowd. Forget being a disciple and being able to get that close, you know. I think it'd be cool just to be sitting in the crowd when Jesus is teaching. A lot of you, I know, are planning on going to some concerts this summer and getting all excited about that. I think it would be cool to just be in the stadium when Jesus is up on stage. I mean, that would be pretty awesome. You know, wow, I get to see Jesus. This is so cool. And it would be really cool to actually, you know, touch him. I can sort of identify with that lady with the subject of bleeding, you know, not that I have a subject of bleeding, but it'd be sort of cool just to, oh man, I touched Jesus, you know. Wouldn't that be cool? How many of you think it'd be cool to just go step in Jesus' feet in Jerusalem where he walked, you know, even 2,000 years ago? A lot of us think it'd be so cool. And yet Jesus says, this isn't my words, this is Jesus' teaching. Jesus says, if you just came and saw me, that isn't a big deal. What's a really big deal is if you get a hold of the Spirit. Do you realize how big that is? Because I tell you, I'd love to see Jesus. And here's Jesus saying, uh-uh, I'm not the big deal. I'm not the all-powerful. I am limited as a human being in this shell right now. I'm still God, yes, and I have all that power. But, you know, Jesus couldn't be in two or three places all at once. You guys all realize that. He couldn't be in Israel and America and Mexico and the Orient and Alaska. Who knows why he'd want to be in the North Pole. But Jesus, when he was on the earth for those 30-some years, was limited in his physical presence in one position. The Holy Spirit isn't. And so Jesus says, it's a good thing if I go away, because if I go, then the Spirit is going to come to you. The Spirit is going to be near to you. Now, this reveals a huge problem, because we don't understand the Spirit. And there's a reason this happens, because the Spirit is a little shy. So, you know, we get the Father, we get the Son, but man, I just don't know about this. You know, I just don't know about the Spirit. And here's one of the works of the Spirit that I just want to let you in on, because Jesus is teaching this as he's going through this. And he says, this is why this is so important, because the Spirit's job, one of the big jobs of the Spirit, is literally to point to Jesus. Okay, so the Spirit is constantly pointing towards Jesus. So sort of the Spirit's work is literally to sort of hide behind the scenes and say, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's all about him. No, don't look at me. Don't look at me. You know, look at him. Whoa, look at Jesus here. You know, don't get your eyes on me. No, look at him. No, not me. No, look at him. You see, when a church starts to lift up the Spirit and starts to make a big, big deal of the Spirit, it probably really doesn't have the Spirit. Because one of the biggest jobs of the Spirit is to point to Jesus. Constantly point to the cross. Point to his sacrifice, the crucifixion, his life. And this is sort of fascinating with the Trinity, because when Jesus was here, when the Son was on the earth, Jesus said that his big deal, his big reason for being here, was actually to bring glory to the Father. So everything Jesus did was to honor God, to glorify God. And every time Jesus got a little bit of honor, he's like, no. The honor needs to go to God. He's the one that we need to be looking at. So this is sort of fascinating. The Spirit is always constantly pointing towards the Son. The Son is constantly bringing glory to the Father. And Jesus says, you know what? When the Father is glorified, when the Father's glorified, you know what the Father does? The Father sends the Spirit. Does anybody see something cool starting to develop here? Spirit's job is to honor the Son. The Son's to glorify God. When God is glorified, God sends the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, the Spirit does what? Points to the Son. When the Son gets that pointing towards him, he turns it all towards God to bring glory to God. And what does God do? He sends the Son. Do I need to keep going? It's a perfect Trinity. It's a perfect system. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is what you need to go after. I love a book subtitle that I ran across in my studies. The book is by J.D. Greer, and the subtitle is this: Jesus continues the title. Subtitle: Why the Spirit Inside of You is Better Than the Jesus Beside You. I like that. That's worth writing down. You got that up there? I don't know if I put that up there or not. The Spirit inside of you is better than the Jesus beside you. So what's the role of the Holy Spirit? We're going to dig much deeper into this in the next couple of weeks, but just to sort of give us a baseline this morning, I want to take a look at John chapter 14, 15, and 16, and I want to just look at a couple of the things that the Spirit does to get us going as we're jumping into the deep end and holding our breath. I just want to throw some of these out to you. So here's the first one, John 14, verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. One huge role of the Holy Spirit is that of teacher. Now, I see myself more as a teacher than a preacher. If you've been around LifeSpring for any length of time, you probably have sort of caught on to that. I love the teaching side of it. And the preaching, yeah, I like to preach, but the teaching is where I really like to go. And one of the functions that the Spirit has is to teach us. And He's a much, much better teacher than I could ever be. Because you see, the teacher's part of the Trinity, part of God. And so, you know, I don't get all of this. I don't understand the whole universe, and I don't understand how God even created this thing. But the Spirit does. And the Spirit came to teach. And not just teach us about churchy stuff. The Spirit can teach us about how to have a great marriage. The Spirit can teach you about how to run your personal finances. Anybody have their finances sort of messed up? Spirit will help you with that. The Spirit will teach you about, here we go, I'm going to say it, how to eat properly. Sorry, because some of us don't. And the Spirit will help you with that. The Spirit will teach you about how to be a great mom and a great dad. The Spirit will teach you about how to drive your car better, because some of you just don't, okay? The Spirit will teach you about all things in life, not just churchy stuff. And see, the problem is so often we box God in, and God is on Sunday mornings, and God is on a Bible study here and there. But God is not limited to the box, and neither is the Spirit. And the Spirit, if He made all of this called the world and the earth and everything that we see and everything that we feel and touch, if the Spirit made all of this, then who better to teach us how to live it than Him? And He will. It's one of the Spirit's job, is to teach us. But Jesus also said in this understanding of teaching that the Spirit will not just teach, but He will remind you of everything that I have said. Now, in order to remind you of something, you have had to have already heard it. Okay, so the Spirit will remind you, will bring back to your mind something that came into your thinking, who knows when, maybe way back in elementary school, maybe way back in a vacation Bible school or a Sunday school when you were a kid, maybe something that your grandma said when you were just, you know, a wee little lad, you know, and all of a sudden, the Spirit will bring that back to your thinking out of the blue. Has that ever happened to any of you? You're just going through life, minding your own business, and then all of a sudden, a verse, a Bible saying, a religious thought or concept comes back into your mind, and then all of a sudden, you find yourself right in the middle of needing that exact verse at that time. What's going on? That's the Spirit reminding you. Now, here's the deal. The Spirit can't remind you of nothing. You had to have read it, so that's why it's sort of good to be in the Bible, sort of good to show up at church, sort of good to be in a Bible study or to be engaging in God's Word, because you may not remember all that stuff. Anybody here have the Bible memorized? Y'all treat me like I do, and let me tell you, I don't, okay? Like, well, Pastor, you know that verse. No, first, I can't read your brain, and secondly, I got it all memorized, okay? How many of you here have read the Bible through at least once? How many of you read a lot of the Bible somewhere along the line? Okay, how many of you have read some of the Bible? Okay, let me ask that again. How many of you read some of the Bible? Okay, better the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. All right, now let me ask that again. How many of you have read some of the Bible? We just all read it, okay? We've all had little bits and pieces of the Bible, and this is so cool. This is one of the works of the Holy Spirit. He will bring back to your mind what you've read. He'll bring back to a concept that you've heard, that you've been taught. It's one of the works of the Spirit. You know, most of you, and I don't kid myself, most of you are going to go out here and by this afternoon at 5 o'clock after you sat and fallen asleep watching some golf, yay, you're going to forget 90% of whatever I've said this morning. But the miracle is Wednesday. All of a sudden, something you forgot may come back to you just like that. That's the Spirit at work. He's here to teach. Here's a second thing that we learn out of this passage. He is also a guide. He is a guide. John 14, 15. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Four times in the NIV in this teaching of Jesus, Jesus refers to the Spirit as the Parakletos. The Parakletos. It's the Greek word that is translated Spirit, Counselor, some other ones, Advocate is another word that's translated as well into the English. The word Parakletos in Greek was the idea of a personal aid, a personal assistant. Now, how many of you know what a personal assistant is? How many of you would love to have a personal assistant? Wouldn't it be cool if you had all the money in the world to have somebody just walks around with you taking notes of your life and doing everything you tell them without question? You know, like, will you order toilet paper? You know, we are low on ketchup, okay? I need you to make this phone call because I don't want to make it, okay? You know, but that was the idea of Parakletos. It was this person, this assistant, personal assistant that hung to a person like glue. The rich people could afford a personal assistant. Now, most people couldn't. And so in the New Testament, they stole this word from the Greeks and from the Romans, and they used it to refer to the Holy Spirit. He is a person that comes alongside of you and is next to you like glued to you. He's like a dog on a bone. He never leaves you. He's constantly walking with you and going with you and guiding you and helping you. Now, over the past year, I've learned the power of a counselor. For the past 10 months or so, I've been going to a counselor just to sit and chat and talk, and he's outside of me, so he's not in my head, and just helping me process things and think about how to deal with family life and church life and keep all that in balance. And it's been a wonderful experience for me. And I would suggest it for any of you, by the way. Here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is exactly like that, and he's individualized to you. He's personalized to you. And here's one thing I know. There are boundaries when it comes to counselors and doctor's appointments. You know, you don't call your doctor at 4 in the morning because you have a problem. By the way, just so you know, if you call me at 4 in the morning and tell me that you have marriage problems, I'm going to hang up on you and say, call me back later because I doubt whether this marriage problem just started 15 minutes ago. And you knew this was brewing, okay? Well, see, the Holy Spirit, he's on call 24/7 with you individually, never leaving your side. He is a counselor that is inside of you, a guide that is inside of you, wherever you go, constantly there to help you and direct you, to lead you. And this is exactly what Jesus said, John 16, 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And so you don't have to, well, you know, what am I going to do? We get in all these big debates about these little decisions. Should I buy this car or that car? Should I buy that outfit or this outfit? I just went through a wedding. Oh, man, are there a ton of decisions. Does this tie work? Yeah, it looks good to me. And then I found out, no, it doesn't. You know, we get into all these little debates over all these little decisions. And do you realize God said, Jesus told us, the Spirit, God, me, I, in the form of the Spirit, will be right there to help you make all those little decisions. Should I drink that milkshake or should I have the water? Should I order the Coke and the extra piece of pizza or not? Should I buy this home or should I pass? Should I marry this person or not? All of those decisions, the Spirit is there to guide us with. Okay, let's move on. We're jumping in the deep end, so I don't want to take too much time. We're going to get into more of this as we go along. I want to coach this next idea between, or couch, I'm sorry, I want to couch this next idea between these two passages. Remember, this whole disclosure is centered on Jesus about to leave, and he's going to die, but then right after that, he's going to go back into heaven. He's going to leave the disciples all on their own. And this whole teaching is centered on the Holy Spirit and his work. So listen to these two verses. This one comes earlier in chapter 14. The second one comes in chapter 16. But you know him. Talking about the Spirit. It's Jesus speaking, talking about the Spirit. But you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And then a few verses later, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. So these two verses present to us something. Jesus says, don't freak out. And then he tells them why. Because the world's going to hate you. People aren't going to like you when you say, I'm Jesus, I'm a Jesus person. I'm standing up for Christ, you know. The world's not going to like you. And it's not going to go well with you. But we have to go back to this first one. Jesus said, but don't fret over it. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to ditch you like an orphan. I'm going to hang out with you. The Holy Spirit will bring us comfort in difficult times. And I love this picture that Jesus gives. He's not going to abandon us like an orphan. We picked up a cat. Erica took the good one. We got a better one. I was down. We went to Kitten Crazy because, you know, they're a rescue place and whatnot. So we just went there to mingle, and it's actually, they're fairly inexpensive. But the lady was telling me some of the horror stories of how they get kittens. And she said a couple weeks ago, somebody left a kitten in a plastic tote with holes popped in the top of the tote at night, and that night it poured, and by the time they got there, the kitten's head was barely above water and only had about that much more room before it drowned. She said, it's unbelievable what people will do when they bring us their animals. You know, I think sometimes we feel like Jesus will do that to us. And I got a feeling that's what the disciples are sort of thinking, that Jesus is just going to ditch us. He's just going to throw us to the curb now after 3 years, after we've left everything. He's just going to kick us to the curb. So listen to these words. Jesus says, I will not leave you like orphans. I'm not going to kick you to the curb. I'm not going to say, hey, glad to save you. Good luck with the rest of your life. Good luck as you deal with that physical issue. Good luck as you work at that struggle. Good luck as you get the pink slip. Don't look to me. Your problem, not mine. Jesus says, I'll never do that. No matter what you're going through, no matter what heartache, no matter what struggle you're going through, I will not leave you. I will not abandon you. I will be with you, even though he knew full well physically he was going to depart. So again, Jesus was pointing out the Spirit. The Spirit, Jesus in the form of the Spirit, is going to be with us to comfort us. Now, here's a picture that I want to give you, and I don't want you to think it's freaky or weird. I want you to see the coolness of this. When my mom would get up in the morning, she would see my dad off to work, often long before daylight and long before us kids were up. And then oftentimes she would sit down in the rocking chair in the living room and just take a little bit of a breather before all of us kids got up and went crazy, getting us off to school, and she would fall asleep. Now, every now and then, even as a junior higher, every now and then I would, for whatever reason, get up early and I'd come downstairs and I'd see my mom sort of still rocking. You know how moms can rock even though they're sleeping? You know, and she was sitting there with her eyes closed, just doing this, and I wouldn't say anything, I wouldn't ask permission. Even as a junior higher, I would simply go over, crawl up in her lap, because there was something so comforting about sitting in my mom's lap, just rocking for a few minutes before school started. And that's what Jesus says, I won't leave you, I won't abandon you. My lap is always open, my rocking chair is always oiled and ready to go. You're welcome. Come jump in my lap. Come find comfort if you're hurting. The last picture, or the last two here, we'll go through them really quick that I want to share with you this morning. Next one, Jesus gives us a glimpse of the Spirit on the other side. So he's the comforter, but he's also got a bold streak to him as well. When he comes, Jesus said, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So Jesus, every now and then, or the Holy Spirit, every now and then, will convict us. I tell little kids, so they can understand this, and they get it really well. When you're about to do something that you that might be wrong. Let's just say might be at this point. And you hear a little voice in your head. All the kids are like, yeah. I said, you know, it's the how many of you remember the cartoons where you had the devil on the one shoulder and the angel on the other, you know, and your conscience. So I taught the kids, I said, you're about to do something, and then your conscience says, no, don't do that. That's not right. Well, I think that's bogus. Forget that it's the conscience, okay? Let's put that aside. Here's what I really think it is. I think it's the Holy Spirit. And I think it's the Holy Spirit pointing out to you, tapping on your shoulder before you do something stupid and say, don't do that. Don't do that. Bad idea. I got this cool car. I really like my car. It's the first car I've ever had that when you're going 60 and you step on the gas, you can go to 90 like that. I did a road trip this week. I'm busting down 71 because I had to go down to Columbus, and I'm flying down the road. Now, this is where the Holy Spirit helps stupid people, okay? Because sometimes God does that. So I'm just messing, you know, as I'm driving other cars, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm having this a good time. Because you get bored when you make that trip, and I make that trip a lot. You just start getting bored. And so I'm flying down as south of Mansfield, and I stepped on him. I'm going down the road. Then I was like, I better slow down or get busted. And so I slowed down, and guess what I passed right when I was still going about 78? A trooper sitting there gunning everybody in my side. I'm like, oh, crap. Oh, sorry, crud, you know. Luckily, everybody else must have been speeding too because he let me go. But there's something inside me that said, you know, I shouldn't do that. And I slowed down. Now, luckily for me, you know, God maybe saved me from a ticket. And that's not that big of a deal. But sometimes there are some things that we're tempted to do and something inside of us kicks in and says, don't go there. Sometimes somebody may have wounded you in something and you want to lash out. You want to let them have it. How dare they say that to me? And something inside of you just says, no, back off. Slow down. Catch your brain a little bit here. And I'm telling you, Jesus tells us that is the Spirit working inside of us, convicting us of sin. Because here's the deal. I don't know all the rules, and none of you know all the rules in the Scriptures. We can't memorize the Bible. We already established that. And so we don't know all the rules, all the do's and don'ts, but the Spirit does. And the Spirit is constantly pointing those things out as we walk through this thing called life. Don't say that to your wife. Don't say that to your husband. Don't do that on the job. And the Holy Spirit is reminding us and convicting us of sin so that we can honor God and be the people that He's called us to. Here's the last one I want to give you this morning. How many of you would say that Jesus did some pretty cool things while on this earth? Jesus did some pretty cool things. Just for fun here, really quick. We got plenty of time and we're getting the food for you, so you got time this morning, okay? Just for some fun. What are some of the cool things Jesus did while on the earth? Just call them out. Water to wine. Died and came back. That's pretty cool. Walked on water. Raised people from the dead. Let the blind see. Heard one over here. Calm storms. Okay, was born of a virgin. Born of a virgin. What? Did what? Cured the cripple. Fed a lot of people. Jesus, please, today. Convicted people, unbelievable communication skills. Okay. Listen to this. This is so awesome. It sort of scared me, excited me, blew me away this week when I was reading these chapters. Listen to this. You just heard what Jesus did. Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Who does Jesus say can do greater things than he did while he was on this earth? The people. You and me. Now, how many of you have raised somebody from the dead? No? There you go. Not yet. Anybody prayed for healing, saw somebody healed? Yes. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? And Jesus ain't tooting his own horn. If anybody could, he could. But he isn't really. But he's like, I've done some pretty cool stuff. But you're going to do even more. And you know why? Because the Spirit's going to come on you. And when the Spirit comes, you're going to do unbelievable stuff. You know, one of the things that we celebrate in our church is the Great Commission. It comes at the end of Matthew chapter 28. It's where Jesus tells the disciples their marching orders, gives them their instructions for the rest of their lives. Go and baptize the world in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching everybody to obey everything that I've taught you. It's a Great Commission. We're to go into the world. So that's the job. We as the church are to go into the world. And you know what Jesus' first instruction was in their going? This is the first thing he told them to do in order to go into the world to tell everybody the good news. His first instruction, I want you to do absolutely nothing. So Jesus lays out that you're to go save the world. You're going to tell everybody about me. You're to tell this great news to everybody that you run into. You're to go up into Europe, and you don't know it. You're going to go to this place called America eventually, and Mexico and Cuba and everywhere else. You're to go everywhere, and the first thing I want you to do to go is nothing. What? I don't understand this. Jesus said the first thing to do is nothing because you're to wait on the Spirit, because the Spirit is going to be the one who's going to help you go, and when you go, you're going to do more than I have done. You're going to see more spectacular things than if you were sitting here with me for another 30 years. I think that is pretty awesome stuff. Jesus was saying this of us, that when the Spirit comes, the Spirit will empower us to do unbelievable things. Now, how many of you would like to see LifeSpring become a place where when we begin praying for somebody's healing, they get healed? When we begin praying for somebody's salvation, they get saved. They don't stand a chance. I'm there. How many of you would like to see that when we start praying for the finances so we can pay for furnaces, we don't have to worry because the furnaces are going to get paid for? Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than me when the Spirit comes on you, because the Holy Spirit will empower you. So what do you think? Is learning about the Holy Spirit a worthwhile pursuit over the next few weeks? Yes. I think it's something we haven't talked about enough in the church. I think it's something we do need to talk about it more. I heard enough yeses. We're going to go ahead. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm feeling a little bad right now because I've not dug into these things earlier in my life. And I wish way back in college I would have had a class on this. But here's the deal. I'm going to learn with you. If you want to read some of the books that I'm reading, I picked up about 5 books this week to start piling into this. If you want to read John 14, 15, and 16, get in there. Read that. 4 chapters there. I'm going to learn with you. Now, I know that some of you came to celebrate Tim and Erica's nuptials this morning. Maybe you're visiting. Maybe you can't come back. Here's the cool thing. If you still want to hear about this, hello, Facebook people. Anybody respond, Ray? Ray watches our Facebook feed. Oh, cool. All right. If you can't make it here in the next couple weeks, I'd encourage you to jump onto Facebook Live. By the way, our Facebook Live following is going up and up and up and up and up and up. So the best way that happens is you share it so you can get home today. Lauren accidentally figured out how to do a watch party. All of a sudden, we had a lot more people watching, so that was sort of cool. So try a watch party, see if you can figure that out. Share our feed on Sunday morning. If you can't be here, jump online and watch with us. By the way, you folks out in Facebook land, you are always welcome to come to church because we have the good coffee and the snacks here. You have to get it on your own at home. So you're welcome to come. Let's wrap up this morning with a final thought. In life, do you ever sometimes feel like you're alone in your Christian journey? I mean, you know, you have the head knowledge. Yeah, God's here, and I have a church family that I can participate with, but some days it just feels like nobody else is there with you. Like you're trying to swim upstream when everybody's going downstream. If you ever get into one of those moments, I want you to hear this morning That's exactly where the disciples were going to be. And Jesus said, the Spirit is coming. And the Spirit will come upon you. And so what I want to do this morning is just for a moment, I wanted to give you just a minute to pray. I think sometimes, I've said this before, I think sometimes we get so wrapped up in life, so busy, going a million miles an hour. Trust me, in the last couple weeks with wedding stuff, that's been my life and our family's life. We can get so busy moving here and there that sometimes we just don't get quiet. So I want to give you a moment to be quiet this morning. And here's what Jesus said. Here's what I want you to rattle around in your head. Jesus said in 16:12, I have much more to say to you. So much more than a pastor could preach on a Sunday morning. So much more than I could get in 3 years of direct ministry with you. More than, Jesus said, more than you can even bear right now. If I told you more, I'd blow your sockets. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Do you want the Spirit walking with you? Do you want the Spirit guiding you and empowering you, leading you? Do you want to invite him along for the ride in your journey called life? It's very simple, as I've been reading, very simple to have this happen. Just ask him. Because the Spirit is sitting here saying, I'm waiting. I want to get on board with you. I want to jump into your life. I want to go where you're going. I want to help you. I want to guide you. I want to teach you. I want you to be the best person you can be. And all he's waiting for is an invitation. And so for just a couple minutes, maybe about 2-3 minutes this morning, I want to give you that opportunity just to say that simple prayer. And I put it on the back of the bulletin if you want to read it on the connection card and make that simple prayer. Dear Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. I want to ask you to join me in this journey called life. Now, if you don't know Jesus, that would be the first thing to talk about. I need to find your salvation. But a lot of you here probably know Jesus, but maybe it's time you invite the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what all is going to happen, but I want you in my life. Don, if you could just play some music. We're going to be quiet for a minute. These altars up here are the great places to pray. If you want to come up and make that prayer here, you're welcome to. If you just want to make it where you're seated, you're welcome to do that as well. But here's the simple prayer. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. I want to ask you to join me in this journey called. Dear Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we realize that we cannot function with you as a church. We've come to realize that a long time ago, so we pray. But we want more. We want to see your power. We want to see your work. We want more. And this morning, on behalf of our church, as pastor, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come in and fill this place. That you'll infuse your Spirit with ours. That you will be our guide, our teacher, our leader, our comforter, even our convictor. Empower us to do your work in the Buckeye community that you've called us to do. Empower us to live the life that you want for us, which is the best life possible we talked about the last couple weeks. Holy Spirit, come and be in us. Jesus, thank you for the gift of the Spirit, and Jesus, thank you for going away. Yeah, it'd be cool if I could come and hang out with you for an afternoon, but I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to see this. Jesus, if you didn't go, the Spirit, who is the one actually listening to me pray right now, wouldn't be here. I'd be praying to the wind. So Jesus, thank you for going. Spirit, thank you for coming. And I pray you will fill us with your presence. Guide us even this week. Bring us back next Sunday with praise and testimony about how you worked in our lives in the next 7 days. And Father, finally, I just pray, if there is somebody here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, who has not made that first step towards you, I pray this might be that day, that they'll find a quiet moment, that maybe they'll find a seasoned Christian or myself, and that they may just get away with you to ask for your forgiveness and your salvation. And I pray that they will have a sense of your awe and your power and the sacrifice that you made and the forgiveness that you bring. So, Father, don't let a person leave without coming to know you as Lord and Savior. I thank you, God, for this morning, for the ideas and the thoughts that we get to study. I pray you help me put them together again for next week as I'm launching into unfamiliar territory. And I pray, God, that we will have an exciting service again because your Spirit's here and because we're learning more about you. Now, as we go to party and then eventually go to leave this place, leave these grounds, I pray you will go with us. That Jesus, you will send your Spirit and Spirit that you will walk with us no matter where we go, whether it be down to Drug Mart or sitting on our couch watching whatever this afternoon or out trying to mow the lawn with the rain coming down. No matter where we go, you will be there with us, leading and guiding in all that we say and do. In your name we pray these things. Amen.